Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thumbtacks, man. It's always flipping thumbtacks. We need to somehow change professional wrestling so that we do have some kind of cage match, some kind of hardcore match. You can take a bump onto a penguin, you can take a bump onto a giraffe, or you can take a bump onto a very nice cuddly octopus. Now, of course, we shouldn't do that because it'd be absolutely terrible, but this week's main event on AEW Dynamite was just so ridiculous, but don't worry, we're going to talk about it. Also, hello, my name is Simon from What Culture. Thank you for joining me as always, and given that it is a Thursday, we shall take the finger of power and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. And I also want to do a quick shout out to WrestleCon, WrestleCon.com, because over WrestleMania weekend, me and the What Culture guys are going to be there. We're going to be doing some interviews at WrestleCon, and they very nicely hooked us up with some passes. So thank you to WrestleCon.com, and hopefully we'll see you there too. But for now, let's up those downs for AEW Dynamite. Jim Ross dropped a hey yo at the start of Dynamite, which I thought was very nice when Adam Cole's music hit and he came out with Red Dragon. And I tell you, the pop that that music gets is absolutely ridiculous. And to be honest, for the entire 2 hour period, this audience was fire. This was the match that we set up last week when Adam Cole was all like, oh, Hangman, Adam Page, you better go and get yourself some tag team partners, which he did do in the Jurassic Express. So here we have the world title program, we have the tag team titles too, everything is just coming together. We also took a nod to the recent past as well, because Adam Cole and Jungle Boy were the first two people facing off. But don't even worry about that, because Luchasaurus was then in the ring, and so was Bobby Fish, and I was like, here we are. In 2022, watching a dinosaur take on an ocean animal. I mean, whoever thought we'd see it? Size will always get you eventually, so Luchasaurus started murking everyone. But this is when Red Dragon remembered, oh man, he definitely has legs. So they jumped on those and they started ruining them. And I was a bit like, man, of all the things this species has already been through, and now you doing this. He had the power deep down though, so he did get the hot tag to Adam Page. And honestly, you have to go and watch this. Our world champion was so hyped up, he went absolutely crazy, including grabbing Bobby Fish and giving him a fall away slam. And once again, I was like, I would have paid for this on pay-per-view. When have you ever seen a fish get thrown over somebody's head? He also followed up with a dive and a power bomb. And I think at this point, Jungly Jim was all like, well, I want to get involved too. So he did a dive. This was so much fun. The good guys then hit simultaneous moonsaults like this is just something you do every single day. But this is when the assholes became assholes, because there was so much carnage, Adam Cole made sure he took a shot at Jungle Boy, and then all of a sudden they were back in control. This didn't last long, because then Luchasaurus got another hot tag, and he too was going crazy, including grabbing Bobby Fish and chokeslamming him on top of Kyle O'Reilly. But this is when Carl was like, ha-ha, I haven't forgotten about your leg, and he was going to apply a knee bar. But thankfully, Hangman Adam Page realised, no, this can't happen, and he broke it up. It was around about here when Cole and Paige finally went at it, so of course we're going to get back to them at some point, but who knows what the outcome here would have been, because the tag klaxon went off and everybody was in the ring, and seriously, it was just carnage. There was definitely a Deadeye throughout all of this, and the Jurassic Express were able to hit the Doomsday Device, but they had not realised that Adam Cole and Red Dragon had been storing up their finishes. So they hit R1 and Triangle, or whatever the hell it is. Red Dragon hit the high-low thing, Adam Cole hit the running knee, and he actually pinned Hangman Adam Page, which of course can set a match up down the line. And this probably does mean that when they do that, the Cowboy will win, hence why we did do this. But it was just nice and simple, effective storytelling, and the match itself was so entertaining, you gotta go watch it. All the madness with Keith Lee and Team Taz then continued because Keith Lee was in the back and he was talking to Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs as Tony Schiavone had said, look, we really appreciate you being here and that you both agreed not to attack the other one. In short, though, Lee is going to be taking on Max Caster when it comes to Rampage, but Ricky Starks doesn't appreciate that Keith Lee is coming back to his show. So eventually we are going to do this match. I think it'll be pretty good. It also seems like Chris Statlander is going through some kind of change as well, because we had this really quick video where you basically saw her losing a lot as she took off her makeup. So I suppose that something is coming, or we're going to find out that she wasn't an alien at all. I feel duped. William Regal then joined commentary, and I'm pretty sure at one point he was using Shakespeare to describe Danhausen. So it gets an up. Yep, it's that simple. I see William Regal and my finger goes that way. But it was also because we were having his team of Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley taking on Wheeler Yuta and Chuck Taylor. And I tell you, they tried to kill each other. This was especially true for poor Wheeler, who was in there to begin with. He basically had to scramble over the corner saying, Chuck, please tag me and tag me. But when Taylor was in there, well, I wouldn't say it went much better for him. I mean, he was able to defend himself a little bit, and he had learned from the first match, because he tried to work over Danielson's leg. Obviously, then Bryan went, all right, fine. He tagged in Mox, and he may as well have had a gun, I swear. He actually wanted to end people's lives. I mean, even when Yuta got a hot tag, I think it was cut off instantly, and then these two hit a heart attack, so that made me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. And then Moxley found himself on the outside. So he was like, all right, fine. I'm going to start smashing fools with DDTs. Danielson was then also all wound up. So he started kicking Wheeler Yuta's head in. And this is when Moxley was back. He applied the bulldog choke. And these two won with such ease. Honestly, they are so good together, it doesn't even make any sense. There was more wonderfulness after this, though, because Wheeler Yuta, in his broken state, kind of turned his back on the best friends. And he got into the ring and he approached William Regal, when Regal slapped him right around the face. Now, given that he did this to Moxley, and given that he did this to Bryan, does it mean that Wheeler Yuta is their first recruit? Because if we do that, that is going to rock. All of this is getting it up. FTR and the Young Bucks then had a clash backstage, so it seems like we're going back to that feud, and hell yeah. But oh my gosh, if you can believe it, hence the t-shirt today, when they were talking to each other, they started to tease that maybe, just maybe, Bret Hart is going to be the new manager of FTR. And if that does happen, I tell you right now, this poor a-hole ain't going to be able to handle it. Cash and Dax also said they got rid of Tully Blanchard because he wasn't focused enough. And I said out loud, that doesn't sound very fair. We then had more crossing of the streams because we were backstage with the Acclaimed who were all like, man, we're going to take on Keith Lee and Rampage and we're going to beat him, when they got interrupted by Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. So we bring it down. That is 27 interruptions in AEW and 81 in all of wrestling. And all of this kind of went crazy because they were all like, listen, Max Caster, you better get the job done on Rampage. But this is when Swerve Strickland walked in and he was like, oh, Ricky Starks, I want to beat you up too. I don't know what direction it's going to head in. I would guess the answer is a series of wrestling matches. What a hot take. The Jericho Appreciation Society was out next, and I tell you this, I think I prefer Chris Jericho as a bad guy. He is just so good at being an asshole. 2.0 kicked this off as well, and those guys are equally as great because they're just so funny. And they were like, oh man, you like that Judas entrance music, do you? Well, do you want to know why? It's because of Chris Jericho, and quite obviously, we appreciate him. They just carried on that he's such a swell human being. Chris Jericho got the microphone and he was all like, you fans don't appreciate me. So that's it. I am giving up being a wrestling fan because due to me, I turned Becky Lynch heel, I turned Edge heel, I turned Damian Priest heel, and now I've done it to Chris Jericho. And all I was doing was trying to make a lot of noise.
More for me.
He did so much more than this, though, because he also tied it into every single thing that's been happening on television. I mean, if it wasn't for him, AEW wouldn't be a thing. But then Sammy Guevara walked out of him. The Proud and the Powerful, they screwed him over too with his Eddie Kingston nonsense. So he's sick of it and he's not going to take it anymore. He also started bringing up real life things that actually happened as to why all these people loved him, in the sense that, one, Daniel Garcia was involved in a car wreck in 2019 and he had donated thousands of dollars to a charity to help him, but also, two, the only reason that 2.0 are in the company is because his good friend Kevin rang him up and said, why don't you give him a chance? So this is actually legit. You would appreciate Jericho. Round of applause. He then dropped in the line that they're not wrestlers, they're sports entertainers, which is so good, it's kind of crazy nobody else is doing it. Even Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, a man that comes across like he could murder you, was like, you know what? I'm proud to be a sports entertainer too. I love this. Jericho then got rid of the 2.0 name because he thinks it was bad creative, and from now on, they're going to use their real names. But he did call them Daddy Magic Matt Maynard and Cool Hands Angelo Parker. So that was it. I was dying. Jericho then turned his attention to Jake Hagar and said, this man has had my back for over a decade, and he's also the Hand of the King. You know, somewhere, the New Day were throwing their hands in the air like, I cannot believe it. It all finished, though, with the line, we are the Jericho Appreciation Society, and we beat up wrestlers. Once again, this just gets a massive clap. It was so damn good, and I cannot wait to see where it goes, especially because here we have some sports entertainers, and what is William Regal creating right now? A bunch of wrestlers. This is going to be great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Serena Deeb then promised that she was going to end Sheeta's career. And I was a little bit like, look, last week, Sheeta said she was going to behead you, Serena Deeb, so you may need to come up with something better than this. I love this feud. They're like proper mortal enemies, and I hope it rolls on till 2049. We then got to one of my most anticipated matches of the week. TNT champion Scorpio Sky taking on Wardlow. Let's go. And of course, this was because you just knew something was brewing with MJF, and AEW didn't disappoint at all. But better than all of that is that Wardlow was just super over here. So all these years of waiting and all these years of building have paid off. Some of the fans were even singing along with Wardlow's entrance theme. He is going to be a star. He really did have some surmounting problems, though, because not only did he have to deal with Scorpio Sky, but American Top Team were also on the outside, and they had a bunch of MP, and they were using it to cause distraction. Wardlow was still able to smash through all of this with a spine buster when he did, in fact, catch Scorps in the powerbomb sympathy. And he gave him one powerbomb, he gave him two powerbomb, he gave him three powerbomb, he gave him four. And just when he was going to finish Sky off, that damn Dan Lambert got on the apron, allowing Sky to roll to the outside. This then went all over the place because Sean Spears started to walk to the ring with a chair, and just as Wardlow turned around, MJF must have been on the Starship Enterprise because he transported himself in there, and he pushed Wardlow into reaching the ring post. And fair play to these guys, they sold that like it was death. Wardlow was still able to kind of get back in the ring, but he was all woozy doozy. And this is when Scorpio Sky hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. He got the three. and he retained the title all because of that damn Max. There was a great aftermath too, because Wardlow just lost it and he was beating up everybody until, very unfortunately, the numbers game caught up with him. Because he was choked out by Austin Vanderford when MJF got in the ring. He had the diamond ring on his hand and he punched Wardlow after Sean Spears had whacked him with a chair. And you just watched all this like, no, we were so close. Maxwell also made sure to pay off Dan Lambert, so that was a nice touch, as was the commentators, because they said, well, of course nobody is coming out to help Wardlow. He has spent the last few years associating himself with MJF. Everybody hates MJF, so he's going to have to turn this round. And all wrestling companies need to do this. It just makes me believe. So sure, all of this was obvious and the right thing to do, but that's because it was the best story to tell. I loved all of this, and it's gigging up. Jade Cargill was then excited because if she wins her next match, she's going to be 30-0, and you should be excited about that. And as always, she said, who's next? Imagine. Just imagine. It was actually Goldberg. And then the Hardy Boys were here. This Dynamite was very enjoyable. Matt has transformed back into his old self in record time, but who the flub cares? Because the fans were just going crazy here. They made Matt and Jeff feel like super duper whooper stars, which they are. They were taken on Private Party, who are just great. Couple of thumbs. They are on fire to begin with as well, before Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy crotch Matt Hardy on the top rope, and of course his penis was then injured, so he wasn't able to continue in the same way he just had. Quinn then did this ridiculous dive that has to be seen to be believed, and this is when Private Party started hitting double teams and going for falls. Now look, I don't think anybody thought the Hardys were going to lose here, but I respect Private Party for trying. Eventually, Matt Hardy did get the hot tag to Jeff, and once again, this audience went crazy, and he started busting out these drop kicks, and quite clearly went for the Swanton, but halfway through went, oh no, I haven't rotated, so he hit a splash instead. And I don't think I've ever seen that, and I've been watching Jeff Hardy for about 20 years. It just goes to show his experience though, and by this time, Matt Hardy had G'd himself up again. They hit a couple of twist of fates. Jeff Hardy did hit the Swanton Bomb. They got the 1-2-3. And I still can't quite believe the Hardy Boys are back together. And they're doing it in All Elite Wrestling. Andrade and his new boys surrounded the ring afterwards. But this is when Sting and Darby Allin came out. Which probably means in the future, we are going to do Sting and his son, Matt and Jeff Hardy, versus Andrade and a bunch of his guys. That is frankly ridiculous. And it's getting up. Fair play to Private Party as well, because they just get better, and let's not forget about them, even though we may be looking in a new direction. And then we cut to Red Velvet, who's all like, Layla Hirsch, you've changed, man. And now I'm gonna get my revenge. I was a bit like, has Layla Hirsch changed? I don't think she has. And then, my friends, it was time for Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in a steel cage for the AEW Women's title. Flub me sideways. Now, I've been the first to say that it kind of felt like maybe we should have pulled the trigger before all this, but given what we just saw, who even cares? Because not only did it tie into all the interference the Britt Baker goons have been doing, because we were in the cage, but as already mentioned, this crowd was just electric, and they made it feel like the biggest match you've ever seen in your life. It also breaks the usual rule that it's about the journey and the destination, because here the destination was the best thing about it, to the point it doesn't just get an up. It gets the golden up. Baker tried to leg it straight away because she knew she didn't have the help of her buddies. And this was doubly good because in AEW, escaping the cage means nothing. Which means she surveyed the field and went, I don't want to take on Thunder Rosa. She's going to hurt me, so I'd rather just run away. She was right too, because when Thunder did grab her, she just started chucking her into the cage. And honestly, in around about 2 minutes, Britt Baker was bleeding. Here came the blood. Before long, Rosa was bleeding as well. And this is where a bunch of chairs were thrown in the ring by Britt Baker, but that did not work at all because Thunder Rosa used it on her. She was even busting out stunners, because of course it was 316 day. Oh, hell yeah. The blood was just everywhere at this stage, and Thunder Rosa especially looked really cool because it got all mixed up with her face paint. And this is when we did a massive tease, because the referee got taken out with a super kick. Thunder Rosa hit the Thunderfire Rosa Driver thingamajig, and she had the 1-2-3. So if you wanted to start going, I can't believe it, AEW's going to screw her again, you could. I mean, you would have been wrong, but that's why it was there. Baker finally got back to her feet, and she set up all of these chairs. And not only did she give Thunder an air raid crash from the top through them, which looked horrible, she then set up this house of chairs, I suppose. And she was on the top rope, And Thunder Rosa just pushed her onto these, and Britt Baker took one of the most sick bumps I've seen in ages. I actually out loud went, yeah, as if I was giving birth to a goat. Baker then went under the ring and got some thumbtacks. And thankfully, Jim Ross went, why is there always thumbtacks under there? And he's right. And when we did sprinkle them on the floor, Thunder Rosa got back body dropped into them. And I swear, we just take this for granted now because we've seen it so many times, but that 100% sacks. Baker then found her glove because she was going to go for the lockjaw, but Rosa got out of that by biting her hand. But clearly, that wasn't enough because she then grabbed her digits and she smashed them into the thumbtacks. Now, I don't want one pin going into my finger, let alone dozens. She also followed this up by powerbombing Britt Baker into the thumbtacks and hitting the Thunderfire Driver thingamajig into the things. And I honestly went, if that's not it, what the hell is? But it was. Aubrey Edwards was out. She went 1, 2, 3, and she put her hand into the thumbtacks as well. But this was absolutely awesome. Thunder Rosa had this massive celebration, and it genuinely did feel like a happening. She also looked really happy, and that always works because it comes out of the screen and it hits you right in the face, and you start to be happy too. So this was top, top stuff. One of the best main events we've seen in ages. We do have a new champion. I may go watch it again. Which brought us to the end of another episode of AEW Dynamite, and this one was so, so good. If you are on the fence about watching it, make sure you change that now. It is getting it up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.